All right, let's have a little fun as we start a serious subject here.
Close the door. You're probably wondering about the coat hangers. They're to block the satellite that's been spying on me.
Okay.
It can read your electronic organizer from space.
Even mine? Hey, I had Lenny's name on that.
They have it now.
And who are they, exactly?
Who else? Major League Baseball.
Marge, I think Bart's gone crazy.
Okay, so that was Bart Simpson and his family on the cartoon The Simpsons. And Bart gets taken with a conspiracy theory that his town is under surveillance by Major League Baseball using a satellite. Now, let's be clear, the MLB is not watching us or Bart Simpson, but there are an incredible number of satellites up there, both commercial and government, and it turns out they can see a lot all over the planet. And the Boston Globe's technology writer, Hiawatha Bray, says this ubiquity of a technology originally developed pieces of it here in the Commonwealth changes what we can see and what we can hide, including in war. Hiawatha is here with us now in studio. We are launching a new bi-weekly series with him called Tech Talk that focuses on how rapidly evolving tech affects our everyday lives. Hiawatha, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So how many satellites are even up there? Do we know?
I don't know. There are hundreds. There's this guy over at Harvard, you know. McDowell's his last name. And he, as a hobby, tracks every known satellite in orbit. And he's tracked them throughout history. There are thousands that have been launched. At any given moment, there have got to be several thousand. And the thing that happened, well, a lot of things have happened, basically. This is the confluence of a whole horde of stuff, much of which started in the 1950s, right around here, when Edwin Land, the guy who founded Polaroid, was talking to Dwight Eisenhower, and he said, you know, it would really be great if we could put cameras in orbit that would actually take pictures and let us see what was going on. And this was at around the time when the U-2 flights were going out over Russia, and everybody realized sooner or later the Russians are going to be able to shoot those down. So they said, yep, we need to start trying to figure this out. And once Sputnik went up, that was it. We were going to start building satellites, and many of the early launches by the U.S. were designed to get cameras in orbit. And little by little, we managed to do that, including a lot of technology from around here. There was a company called iTech that's no longer around that developed the first cameras for doing it. There was, of course, Draper Lab over there. They did a lot of the navigation software. There is Lincoln Lab. They still work so much on the military and intelligence end of this that when I called and asked them for a comment, they said, we never talk about it. It was like Bruno. We don't talk about, really, they would not say a thing about military satellites. But here, so this technology has been developed over decades. It's not sure because they won't tell us, but the estimate I've been reading is that they think the best American satellites can resolve down to 10 square centimeters, something 10 square centimeters from space. That's about the size of a deck of cards.
So I'm looking at my iPhone sitting here on my desk,
something
and if I were outside,
basically
you're telling me that technology that was originated here would allow somebody in space to see my iPhone.
Something about that size. And it originated here. It's been worked on by scientists all over the country. In fact, for example, one of the the most recent spy satellites include much of the same technology that they use on the Hubble Space Telescope, because that's how determined they are to see these very sharp images. But what happened, starting in the 1980s, in France, of all places, the French started launching a commercial service that would launch satellites up there to take pictures and sell them. The United States looked at that and said, yeah, you know, that's not a bad idea. We were already making more and more of these pictures available to civilian use. And they said, well, by the Clinton administration, they said, all right, we're going to allow American companies to start launching satellites in space and take the pictures and sell them. And then, well, a lot of stuff happened since then. But one of the most important things that happened since all that is a guy named Elon Musk.
Dun, dun, dun.
He doesn't get all the credit by any means. But Elon Musk and SpaceX have played a major part in this because they have been insanely successful at dropping the cost of putting stuff into orbit.
And that's been the big cost driver before,
now,
right? Getting it up there.
Two things. The cost of the satellites themselves, and there have been huge advances in using simpler and cheaper technology to make the satellites. And the other thing is the cost of launching stuff. The cost of launching stuff into orbit has dropped by like hundreds of percent. And so you have these launchers going up, dumping literally 50 or 60 satellites at a time. Nice. And these are small satellites, and in many cases, well, you know, like you had Starlink, many of them are Elon Musk's internet network, Starlink, that he's putting up, but many others are surveillance satellites. Small, cheap surveillance satellites.
Commercial.
Commercial surveillance satellites.
For what purpose? Function.
Oh, good grief. the functions are limitless. First of all, they understand the U.S. government is a huge buyer of this stuff. They said, fine, we're going to buy a lot of our space surveillance stuff from companies, the companies that have names like Maxar. If you've been watching the coverage of the Ukrainian war, you've seen Maxar.
You have.
They run these satellites. But perhaps the most interesting of them is this company called Planet. Planet is the one that has this several hundred number of satellites in a constellation. They call them doves for some reason. And the amazing thing about what Planet has done is that ever since 2017, they have taken a photograph of every square inch of the planet's surface every day. Every single
day. So you can see the entire
day.
Planet.
All the land anyway. I don't think they take pictures of the ocean. Every piece of land on the planet is photographed by Planet every single day.
Okay, so I'm thinking that now when you start talking about how that affects something like war, that means we can see movements on the ground.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happened. This has completely eliminated the possibility of major military movements, certainly land warfare, being invisible. It just can't happen anymore. We've already got that going on in Ukraine, and we've already seen other examples of it. Years ago, somebody used some of these satellite pictures independent. It wasn't some intelligence agency. It was some researchers who found an American military base in Africa that nobody knew about. They just saw it pop up on satellite photos, and they started checking and looking at pictures of that same piece of land over time. And they saw, whoa, this wasn't here before. Now it's here now. And they contacted the Pentagon. And they said, yeah, we got a base there. They figured it out from looking at the pictures. It's going to get even more interesting because now they're applying artificial intelligence to these millions and millions of pictures. You will be able to feed them into a computer and tell them, this is what an airbase looks like. If you see any, let us know. This is what a Jeez. Tank looks like. If you see any, let us know.
So will we expect more regulation?
Well, there's already, obviously, there are regulations on the American companies that do this. So that they have the for example, there are U.S. Areas of the U.S. where they're told, nope, you can't take a picture of that, or you have to take it at lower resolution. There's just one little thing. We're not the only people who have these satellite networks. The Chinese have people doing it. The Russians have people doing it. In some future war, the U.S. is going to move a bunch of troops to, I don't know, Kuwait or some such place. And the Chinese are going to go on international TV and say, here are the American troops, here are their pictures, here's what they're doing. And we won't be able to stop them, just like we're doing it right now to the Russians. That it's just going to completely change the nature of warfare. People are just now getting their heads around it. By the way, you played that Simpsons thing. I didn't even mention this in my story. But that's actually a great point because another company called Hawkeye 360, they do the same thing with radio. They fly around and they listen to all incoming radio traffic.
No way.
Absolutely. They do monitor radio transmissions.
So they, us.
Well, yeah. But this is an open commercial. Nobody cares about that. But any kind of military...
Wait a minute.
Any kind of military or any kind of secret radio transmissions, if they've got a satellite in range, they can pick it up. Absolutely. Or for one thing they use it for, say you want to, if a modern military is going to try to jam GPS signals to keep the other side from knowing what's going on. These guys have been able to detect when the Russians in Ukraine are jamming GPS signals because the jammers themselves send out a signal. So they're flying over and they say, they're jamming GPS, guys. You're going to have to not rely on it.
All right. So in our limited time, and you're rocking my world with this here, but there's this other thing that you've been paying some attention to. We've got just a little bit of time.
Uh-oh.
GPS signals made me think about it, and these are these trackers.
Absolutely. This is this thing that's driving people crazy. Apple, once again, comes up with this thing that others had done before, but they did a really good job of it. The idea of taking a little device, sticking it on something, and then using the Bluetooth in your phone so that now that device will tell you, if you get too far away from it, you left your luggage at such and such a location because it constantly tracks whatever this thing is.
It's called an AirTag.
It's called an AirTag. Well, people have found out that certain bad actors have been using AirTags to secretly attach these things to people's luggage or other things that they're carrying around with them, thereby enabling them to stalk people. Mm. And it's suddenly being realized that it can be used this way. Apple is creating apps and tools to help people know whether they're being stalked. There's even an app. Now, I use an Android phone mainly, but there's now an app available that will help you know, even if you've got an Android phone, whether or not somebody is tracking you using an AirTag. But it's really annoying. It's a classic case of an idea that was really intended for good that is being used for evil.
And we're seeing police reports about it. Back in March, WCVB reports that a woman here in the Commonwealth
That's right.
reported finding one, like somebody was stalking her with one of these.
Absolutely.
And they're like $29.
They're $29. So it's not going to be a crime that we see a vast amount of, but it's bound to happen. I mean, these things, there's just no getting away from them if somebody wants to follow you around that way.
And you can stop it using Find My Network or Find My...
Well, right. Well, no, you can find out whether this thing is actually attached to you is what you basically can do. And then maybe you can find it and destroy it or find it and put it someplace else. It just basically says, yes, there is one of these things within range of your phone because it can seek it out, picking up its Bluetooth signal. And it's a way of you knowing what somebody else is already knowing about you.
All right, before I let you go, in a sentence, you brought up Elon Musk. Of course, the other big tech news globally is him buying Twitter.
Absolutely.
Reaction.
I'm sorry, I don't get the fuss here. It's been driving me crazy. The only thing about this that I find striking is the outrage about it, and I can't quite get it. And the outrage makes me uneasy because so much of it is rooted in this fear of misinformation that we hear about all the time. Nobody doubts that there's plenty of, you know, we've all seen the old joke, I can't come to bed yet. Somebody said something wrong on the internet, and I've got to correct them. Of course, there's huge amounts of misinformation on the internet. But I think we are seeing a risk of an almost unholy alliance of government agencies and giant tech companies who are going to decide for us what's information and what's misinformation. And that's a very dangerous brew. I'm not confident that the U.S. government should have a disinformation board that tells me what's wrong. I mean, some of the stuff they tell us, I mean, good grief, there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Why should I assume that if the government says something, it's true? This is something that makes me very nervous, and I think Elon Musk is resistant to it, too. And a lot of people who want to fight misinformation hate him because he's saying, wait a minute, who are you to decide what's misinformation? And he's got a point.
All right, that is Hiawatha Bray, technology and business reporter with the Boston Globe. See you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining us.